Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Tonight, it's all about the techno. I've got an excellent interview feature on tap for you this evening from the one and only Dubfire ahead of his gig at the Vancouver Convention Center, and we will get to that shortly, but first, let's check out this episode's track of the week. This one is out now on Aeternum Records. It's Christian Smith's remix of Mr. Sparber's latest, Effet Karma. Okay, a great track of the week there. Mr. Sparber gets the Christian Smith treatment. Effet Karma is the title, and that's out now on Aeternum and can be had wherever you buy your tracks. On to the feature for tonight's episode. Dubfire has had a huge impact on the scene, both in techno and house. I was fortunate to be able to interview him ahead of his gig here in Vancouver. We talk production, DJing, and new frontiers. The lead track here is titled Plasticity. A full track list and a selection of Dubfire web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Dubfire. He's been producing and DJing since the early 1990s and continues to do so to this day. With 12 pages of tracks on Beatport, he first made his name as half of Deep Dish, releasing some absolute house classics. Since 2006, he's been working solo and has carved out a career at the top of the techno pecking order. A globetrotting DJ who's collaborated alongside the likes of Oliver Hunteman, Will Clark, Carl Craig, and on and on and on. His CV includes a Grammy Award along with several nominations, multiple BBC Essential mixes, as well as two Global Underground compilations. Released releases on a number of iconic labels, Compact, Drumcode, Crosstown Rebels, and his own Psy Tech round out his resume. Put simply, his tracks have defined house and techno for the past 3 decades. His most recent release is the Descent EP, which dropped 2 weeks ago, and remember to check out his Evolve album, which came out just over a year ago. He'll be playing here in Vancouver this Friday, October 27th at Vancouver Convention Center as part of Blueprints Foundations Volume 7. And that is what we're here to talk about today. It's an honor to be speaking to him. This is Dubfire. So kicking things off, how do you currently define your sound and how would you say it's evolved over time?
I think I sort of take my cues from the music that I'm exposed to. Obviously, as a producer and musician, I have my own ideas of like what I want to achieve like sonically while I'm in the studio. But it's me being a DJ and constantly being exposed to like new music of all different genres that helps spark like the necessary, I think, ideas to deviate from whatever current path I'm on and experiment and try different things and try to come up with like maybe a twist on a current formula, or to try to come up with my own sort of formula for what I think, where I think, you know, music is going, specifically like techno or some of the other genres that I dabble in. So it's a combination of different things, I think, for me.
Some of the early DJs or producers that actually hooked you and inspired you to make this kind of music?
I think I would have to mention people like Danny Tenaglia and Carl Craig, who sort of mentored Jerome and I when we were much younger and first getting into the industry. And then later when I went solo, it was people like Richie Houghton, Chris Leeping, Sven Vaith. These guys were icons that I looked up to, that, you know, I was friends with, and we've run into each other over the years when I was in Deep Dish, but it wasn't until I went solo and went down like a different sort of musical path that I started to run into them more often. And there was a mutual respect and a mutual shared interest in where we wanted to, what we wanted to explore like sonically. And I think they really were instrumental in like, you know, helping me kind of pave my own way down like, you know, the techno kind of path.
You hear that the transition from making house music to techno can be especially challenging for producers. How do you think you managed to bridge that? And in addition to that, how do you think you've managed to stay relevant in an industry that can be fickle, where the popularity has come and gone over that period of time?
I mean, it's hard because I don't think I've ever been completely fully 100%. I mean, I could say that with confidence that I haven't been like fully accepted within, you know, the halls of techno. But I feel like I've made my mark. There are a lot of challenges for anyone trying to go down a different road, so to speak. I really rely on like the feedback that I get and the support that I get from like my industry friends. They're the ones that, you know, I listen to, you know, and I trust my own sort of ideas and my inner voice and what, where it's telling me to kind of steer my career towards. But I also value and I also require like the feedback of my colleagues and my peers in the industry. And they really like help me, you know, maintain, you know, focus, you know, help me like tune out the white noise and force me, you know, to have a bit of clarity and to realize like what my singular vision should be and where I should kind of go. So it's tough. It's hard to articulate. It's just kind of a feeling that you get that you need to, you know, you need to go in this direction versus the other direction. And sometimes, you know, when you're unsure, when you're at a crossroads, you do tend to reach out to your colleagues and they help give a perspective that maybe you weren't considering before.
Okay, let's shift over to DJing here. What makes your set stand out?
I think, you know, with all us DJs, like I think the majority of us have a particular groove, and that boils down to like perhaps like the technology that we use or don't use to play. You know, in my instance, like I use Traktor. I have four decks going. I have like Ableton running in the background. I have live drum sequences that I'm throwing on top of whatever I'm looping or playing. And I think it's It's how I hear the combination of all these elements as a producer and how I manipulate these layers that give me my own signature sort of groove and my own sound. So I would say I use, you know, my acumen as like a producer, as a musician, plus the technology, plus my, you know, my personal taste in the music that speaks to me, you know, that I gravitate towards. I think a combination of all that, a perfect storm of all that, helps define like my specific sound.
Okay, and from a video I watched online, are you running Ableton on a second laptop, or are you running that on the same laptop that you're running Traktor on?
No, I mean, many years ago when I first started to have my setup that way, I was using, a lot of us DJs were using a second laptop because of the strain on the CPU of like one computer. But nowadays the computers have advanced to such a degree that like you can run a lot of different, you know, applications and tools like all in the same laptop, and they tend to be quite, you know, sturdy, unless you have like a really humid environment. anything could go wrong.
Okay, let's talk about gigs here. What's your favorite kind of set? Like an open to close, a festival? What do you like and why?
I mean, I love the open to close sets because that's when you really display your true prowess as like a DJ. You know, that's when you really convey like the art form of what DJing is, you know, in taking the crowd on a journey, having a fixed kind of starting point, trying to create the right atmosphere to try to keep the people from leaving. you know, and have them kind of locked into your own groove like the entire night. And that takes quite a bit of skill. You know, you're dealing with, you know, you're manipulating genres, you're you know, elevating the and enhancing, like, and speeding up the tempos and the grooves and, you know, the genres. And that takes quite a bit of skill to master. And I love that challenge. I also love the challenge of playing like a festival set where you have like a very, you know, small fixed amount of time that you have to play, and you're playing for like a much bigger audience, and you have to try to, you know, extract as much energy as you can from that audience. And you don't have, you know, like, you don't have like the time that you would have for like an open, you know, open a closed intimate set, you know, to be able to experiment. So it's much harder to experiment with like festival sets, but, you know, I do like to have a balance of both. I do like the challenges and the pleasures of, I guess, both styles of playing.
Exit. 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 Exit.
Okay, let's take a look at production. When you're producing, which DAW do you work with? I mean, you mentioned Ableton earlier on. Is that something that you like to integrate into your productions as well, or do you use something else?
I mean, I started out, I think, like a lot of people in the industry using, like, you know, I think Performer was the first tool we used. Logic, obviously, Cubase, Pro Tools, an early version of Pro Tools. But for whatever reason, like, Ableton has sort of become like the industry standard, just because of its ease of use. It's very immediate. You know, like, you can, you know, if you have an idea, you can, with very few actions and strokes and taps on the keyboard, you can kind of like at least lay down like a basic idea, a basic groove. And I think, you know, it's a testament to like how well that platform has developed over the years and how it's been embraced by producers around the world. You know, and other people like tend to use, like if they want like a better quality of sound, they tend to use like, you know, maybe Logic. Years ago it was Logic and now it's Pro Tools.
Okay, you mentioned they're having ideas and being able to lay them out fairly quickly in Ableton. When you are making these tracks, do you have those ideas in advance of production, or do you generally sit down at the computer and just go from there?
Sometimes, like you, like for instance, I'm going to be diving back into the studio from early November. Obviously, there's some things that are various, you know, stages of completion that I have to like try to finish. You know, I love having like a starting point, and that may come in the form of like a remix that you have to do where you get the parts, and those parts will trigger ideas. But other times I love having like a totally blank canvas, not knowing where I want to go musically, which is sort of the case next month. I am thinking of like what I'm trying to accomplish sonically, you know, post Evolve album 2024, like what do I want? What do I want to represent, and what do I want to sound like? And can I take this genre, the techno genre that I love so much, can I take it further, or can I take it in a different direction? And sometimes you don't know, you just kind of, it's like a process of elimination. And you know, you may work weeks and not arrive at anything, and then there'll be like one day, one moment where you just have to be, you always sort of have to be ready to capture like creativity when it presents itself, or like a creative spark or a creative moment within the music making process. So yeah, I would say like, I mean, you got to kind of clock in and put in the hours, but you also have to be ready to capture that special moment, because it's rare.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
You are listening to the Dubfire interview here on Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and the station is 101.9 CITR. That half of the interview wrapped up with the track Challenger 1.2. Full track list and a selection of Dubfire web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Part 2 kicks off with a collaboration alongside DJ Yellow. It's First Step. Okay, let's look at your SciTech label. It looks to be around 16 years old. What's the musical policy for the label, and how has the whole process of running that been for you over that period of time?
The music policy is pretty simple. It's like whatever genre would fit into my sets. So we tend to get quite a vast variety of different styles. It really started out like when I first went solo, I didn't really want to have to shop my solo material. I wanted like an outlet to kind of be able to release like whatever music I was feeling at the time while I was on that path, you know, like a divergent path, you know, to what I was doing with Deep Dish. Pretty soon, once I started to get noticed with those early productions, I started to get a lot of demos, and I decided like it was a, you know, good time for me while I was like developing my own unique sound. I wanted to give, you know, because I'd been in this industry for a while by that point, and I wanted to kind of showcase like the talent that I was discovering. And it was nice because like there was a period of time where like I had a crew of artists like Shaded, Carlo Leo, the Junkies, Johnny Trica. I mean, there was a lot of artists that maybe they didn't sound the same, but they gave the label a specific kind of sound. And a lot of people over the years have commented about, like, especially back in that peak Psych Tech period, that the label had a specific sound. And I had producers coming to me with demos that felt like, you know, they captured that sound, whatever that was. And I was never able to like really identify or articulate what that sound was that everybody, you know, that the audience was hearing. But obviously there was something there that they gravitated towards. So that was a great feeling to be able to develop these guys and have them go on to become, you know, their own success story.
Okay, this is always a bit of a tough one. Can you try to nail it down to the best track you've ever made or a handful of tracks, and what makes them so special?
I think without a doubt, I mean, a defining moment for me initially was like Ribcage and Roadkill, and then came the Grindhouse remix. And I think there were so many other remixes and productions that, you know, they're all like a little time capsule of like what I was going through creatively or in my personal life at the time, and where I was when I was recording it, and what state I was in, like, you know, whether I was pulling my hair out trying to make something happen in the studio, or if it was like, you know, effortless, like the Grindhouse remix. But I'm also fond of, and it's one that not a lot of people caught up on because it only came out on the Plastic Man box set. And this is like a Plastic Man remix that I did for, I believe the song is Plasticity. And it's a really cool, interesting kind of two-part remix that I did. I was doing a lot of these two-part remixes. And yeah, it's something that never came out, like, you know, as an official single, but it's part of the Plastic Man box set for any, you know, train spotters that want to try to seek that one out. I'm
You are going to be here in Vancouver at the Vancouver Convention Center this Friday, October the 27th. And what can clubgoers expect from your set that night?
I have no idea. I mean, I know I'm playing with Vintage Culture, Lee Foss, Dom Dalla, and a few others. So I guess I'm going to see how I can kind of fit in between all these guys. I usually, when I'm traveling to the gig or to the place where I'm supposed to be playing, I'll kind of spend some time, you know, figuring out like musically which direction I want to go in, and then I'll put together like a playlist, and then once I'm actually on site and listening to what the DJ before me is playing and seeing how the crowd is responding, you know, I kind of like will decide what to play from that playlist or just go in a completely different direction. So a lot of it is like, you know, there's a lot of preparation obviously in terms of like having a pool of tracks that you think you want to, that you think would be appropriate for that particular event. And the other part is like actually being there in the moment and seeing and feeling what is happening in the atmosphere, and then deciding where you want to take things musically.
Time.
Okay, let's jump back to a question that I meant to ask you earlier on, and this is all based on a gig that you played in Japan. With the four decks that you're running in Traktor, how much of that stuff is set up in advance, or is the entire thing done on the fly? And do you have any sense of where this is going to go before the gig?
Yeah, but I would say it's a mix of both. It's part of it, like I sometimes go in with a roadmap, and then obviously you can't apply the same roadmap to each situation, you know, because a lot of times I'm going between, you know, the festivals and like the club gigs. You know, I like to have a kind of a starting point. Like there might be a particular intro that I'm playing at the time, or particular cluster of tracks that I would initially begin my set with. And that's usually like the starting point. Like if I've nailed the starting point, if it's a really good starting point, if it builds, you know, tension and anticipation, then that gives me the confidence to kind of go off, you know, off-road and you know, veer into different territories, like musical territories. And I know I can always kind of come back to that, you know, that roadmap that I kind of mapped out for that particular event.
Okay, final question here, and this one's a two-parter. What's your vision for yourself, both in production and DJing? And then in this stage of your career, what do you see as uncharted territory or areas or things that you want to experiment with?
I mean, I think for me, I'm going to make all those decisions when I'm back in the studio, because we had a big reset over the pandemic. Techno's obviously different now. And, you know, just seeing the sphere structure in Las Vegas, I think gave people a lot of ideas. And, you know, I'm doing an audio visual show called Evolve. Taylor West, obviously, Eric Prydz, Mathame, you know, most recently, Nicole Budaber. Everyone's kind of getting into the audio visual experience and trying to experiment, you know, sound and visuals to try to create, I don't know, a different playing field. And I think, like, seeing the Sphere in Vegas and U2's performance there and what they're doing there, I think we're going to go eventually into a more immersive experience. I think that will eventually usher in kind of a new era in not just like clubbing, because you can create that kind of immersive thing in a small club, but also trying to create it in a festival environment as well. So I think like the audio visual experience is going to become like more quickly like evolved and advanced over the next few years.
This has been Dubfire. A selection of his tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, Spotify, and Juno Download. As well, a full list of Dubfire and SciTech web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Remember to check him out at Vancouver Convention Center on Friday, October the 27th, and tickets for that gig are still available online. Thank you very much for doing this.
stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for...
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Dubfire for agreeing to interview. It was an absolute pleasure to interview him, and I hope you were able to get down to the Vancouver Convention Center on Friday the 27th of October to catch that set. Dubfire's classic Roadkill closed out the interview. Full track list and a selection of Dubfire web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Head over there to find out more about the mind behind the music. If you've enjoyed the show and want to hear it again, visit the Techno Progressivo show page at CITR.ca or Apple Podcasts to give this one another spin or to hear more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by. Keep up to date with Techno Progressivo. Follow our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and of course, SoundCloud. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's Track from the Past. For this one, we're going to hop back 11 years in time to 2012 to showcase another Psytech classic. It's The Junkies. The track is Tuco. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here next time.